Praise God. We got to have a relationship with Him. Amen. We got to have a love relationship. We got to be like Him. Amen. In everything that we do. Praise God. In the book of Mark, starting in chapter 5, you can be finding that. Be in verse 22 is where I'm going to be starting. I'm going to go to the Lord here in prayer before I get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day, Lord. We thank You for the opportunity, Father, to come and Lord, just be a part of Your extended family. Lord, for the hospitality, Lord, that we've received here today, Father, we thank You, Lord. And Lord, I pray that You just bless this church, Father, the pastors and the congregation here, Lord. And Father, I pray, God, that You just pour out Your blessings and Your anointing, Father, upon them. And Lord, we thank You, Lord, for Your love, for Your Son. Lord, for making a way for us, Lord, that we might spend eternity with You, Father. And Lord, we thank You and we love You and we glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 22, a very familiar scripture here. It says, "And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. And she had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'Ye see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your afflictions.'" Amen. You may be seated. Today we're looking at this scripture in Mark. It all starts out whenever Jairus comes and he knows that Jesus is coming, and he goes up to Jesus and he's got the disciples with him, and Jairus falls at the feet of Jesus and he's begging and he's pleading him, "You know, you've got to come and heal my daughter. She's very sick. She's about to die. She is very sick." And you know, sometimes when we get desperate, we go before the Lord and we fall at His feet. But sometimes we have to become desperate to get to that measure. Amen. We should be at that point at all times in our life, in our walk, kneeling at the feet of Jesus. Amen. And as they're going, this crowd is growing around them. And this woman with an issue of blood that she's had for 12 years, and that in itself is a miracle in those days that she's still alive. You know, they didn't have hospitals to go to. They didn't have doctors that they could go to and get a prescription for this situation, or a surgery that they could go and have done to stop this. It was just something that she had, and it's something that she had dealt with for 12 years. Can you imagine an issue of blood for 12 years, even in this day and time? Back then, they just didn't make it. They usually end up passing away or dying or whatever, but today we got the opportunity to go to a doctor, and sometimes they can help us and sometimes they can't. But we know who the ultimate healer is, amen? But this lady had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she knew that she had to do something, and she knew Jesus was coming. She knew that Jesus was coming to this town or coming to Jairus' house, and the crowd was gathering, and she knew that she had to press in to Jesus. She knew that she had to make a move to get to him. Because, you know, in that time, whenever you had this situation going on in your body, you weren't supposed to be a part of the crowd. You weren't supposed to touch anybody. Because if you did, you could be punished. Because that person that you touched had to go through a process of cleansing and go to the priest, and there's a bunch of steps there. You can read it in the Word, but She knew that whatever it took, she was taking the chance. She was taking the chance, so she pressed into the crowd, and she run into these folks, and she rubbed elbows with them, and she got in there to touch Jesus. And Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Can you imagine being in a crowd of 50, 60, 80, 100 people, whatever it don't say, but a group of people around Jesus and thronging. If you look up the word, it means to crush or to smash or, you know, he had so many people touching him. How did he know that one individual touched him? Because she was needing something desperately to the point that it didn't matter what the cost was. She was going to press in and she was going to go get it. Church, how many times do we have to press in to get what we need? Amen? We've got to press in to get what we need from God. We can't just sit back on the back burner, on the fringes, and expect God to do something in our lives. Amen? We've got to step out. We've got to be faithful, amen, to God. We've got to seek Him. We've got to worship Him. We've got to learn to fast and to pray and to get in tune with God in our lives. We can't just sit back and expect Him to do everything. Amen. But the woman with the issue of blood, she knew that she had to get in there. She had to press in that crowd. She had to fight her way into the crowd. It says, if you heard the word, she come in behind. Jesus was in the front of the crowd, leading. So you had all these people back behind Jesus. So she had been fighting her way up through this crowd to touch him. Once she got up there and touched him and he said, "Who touched me?" She was trembling. It says she was trembling in fear. Because, you know, back then if you touched someone, then you were in trouble when you had her situation going on. You know, she very easily could have not said anything and not received her healing. She could have been quiet and just went on her way. But she didn't. She knew that she needed that healing. She was tired of going through through the battle, amen, through the situations in her life. Quite often we hear people crying out to God for various reasons or needs in our life, amen. They are needing a touch from God. We need a touch from God daily sometimes. We got things in our life that we don't understand that we go through, but we need a touch from God. We know that most of all, amen. But sometimes we turn to other devices. But there is something wonderful about touching God, amen? Amen? Amen. Touching God requires that we draw close to Him and that we strive to be more like Him, amen? When we draw close to God, then we become more like Him, amen? Just one touch of the Master's hand will change or make a difference in your affliction. How many knows one touch, one drop of blood can take care of a multitude of sins, amen? It can take care of a multitude of situations in your life. Everything in our life can be changed with one, with just one touch from God. And on that day, there was a woman that was sick, and she was frail, and she decided to believe in Jesus' power. Amen. She knew that Jesus could take care of her situation. But she did what she had to do to touch Him. She done what she had to do to press in, to get to Him. But there was something different about this woman. She was determined. Amen. She was determined to reach Jesus. She was desperate for help. She was at her wit's end. She had done spent all the money she had to get healed or to get fixed, whatever it may be. She'd done spent everything she had, but all she did was get worse. So she was desperate. How many has been desperate in their life to where things that just haven't went their way, amen, and you've done everything that you can think of to make it work and you still can't make it work? Nobody? Amen. But she was determined to get her healing that day, no matter what the consequence was. She was purpose driven. She knew no one else could meet the need but God. No one else could meet the need but God. She also had faith to believe that all she had to do was get to Jesus, no matter what it took. And that's what she knew she had to do. She had to get from point A to point B to get her healing. Jesus was headed to the home of Jairus to heal his daughter. Jairus had become desperate as well. He had come to a point that his daughter was sick and she wasn't getting any better. And he knew that Jesus was coming. And he knew that if he went and he threw himself at the feet of Jesus and pleaded, I need you to come heal my daughter, that Jesus would come and help him. He knew his only hope was in Jesus. How many of us sit back and go through the things of life and not pray or seek God until we become desperate? How many of us sit back and not do anything and we wonder, God, where are you at? But he's there the whole time just wanting us to say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. What can I do for you, God? But it's always about, God, what can you do for me? We should be, God, what can we do for you? We have usually exhausted all of our own knowledge and ability when we get to that point of desperation. Everything else has failed. I wonder how many problems could have been solved. How many families saved. How many financial problems repaired. How many emotional or physical situations could have been avoided if we could have just pressed in to touch Jesus instead of relying on our own devices. So many things we've done that could have been avoided. So many situations in our life could have been avoided if we would have just seek God instead of trying to take care of them ourselves. You know, they say hindsight's 20/20. I can look back and tell you there's a lot of things in my life I wish I'd have done different. There's a lot of situations that I went through I wished I would have done different. But you know what? The past is the past. There's nothing I can do about it to change it. It is what it is. But that's all under the blood. Amen. Praise God. There's a price to pay if we want to touch Jesus. There's a price that we have to pay. This woman was sick and she was weak in body, but she was determined. She knew she had a price to pay. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he does reward us, but we have to seek him. Amen. It says right there, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you don't have faith that God can take care of your situations, we're not pleasing God. If we don't have faith to know that he can heal our bodies, if he can take care of our family, if he can take care of our finances, we're not pleasing God. But there were a lot of people following Jesus that day. You know, it probably started out just a few in number. You know, the disciples and a few that see. You know, when you see a crowd going somewhere, people pay attention. And you're like, oh, what's going on? Let's go check it out. You know, and you'll see people coming from all over trying to figure out what's going on. They don't have a clue, but hey, let's go check it out. They may be going to watch some guy tie balloons into animals or something, but you know. But there's a crowd going, so I'm going to check it out. Well, this crowd was going down the street, down the road, and the disciples were with him, and Jairus was with them, and people just started wondering what's going on, so they just started flocking to him. The crowd began to get larger. There were a lot of folks following Jesus that day. And the news was spreading that Jesus was going to perform a miracle of healing at Jairus' house. So once that word got out, then the crowd would start beginning to become bigger. They wanted to see a miracle. They wanted to see Jesus and his miracle. Maybe hear a word from him. But the crowd started out small as they traveled. The crowd grew larger and larger. Why were so many people following Jesus? What were they wanting to see? They were wanting to see something unusual, something different, something that they haven't seen before, something that they haven't ever witnessed. They were looking for something that they had never been a part of. But they knew something was different about this man. Something was different about Jesus. The word has spread all across the country whenever Jesus was doing his miracles. And when he arrived, they were wanting to see this miracle. But can we imagine ourselves in this crowd that day? Imagine yourself in this crowd among the people walking down this dirt road that day with Jesus. And I think if we can examine the scene here closely, we can certainly pick ourselves out in the crowd. It's not hard to put a crowd, or it's not hard to get a crowd excited about something unusual. You can start a fire or have an accident and people will drive 30 minutes out of their way to see what's going on. They will. They say, well, there's smoke, there's fire, so people are going to go look. They see smoke boiling out. People come from all over. Hey, you live on the other side of town over here. You know, people come from all over. But when there is the unusual, people come. You know, if you had told people, hey, there's going to be a minister preaching on his head and standing on his head today, you probably would have got chairs out. Think about it. That's just the way it is. You know, that's just the way it is. This is the norm. I'm up here preaching in the norm. But you get something unusual up here and you're going to draw a crowd. It's just the way it is. You got rubberneckers, you know. When you see an accident, about cause another one trying to look. But people like to see and be a part of things that are really happening. They like to be a part of things of excitement. You know, you can take your kids to the circus and just watch them. They're excited. They see everything going on, you know, especially if it's a three-ring circus where you got stuff over here and over here and over here. You know, there's always something going on and they're so excited to see what's going on. But when things are really happening, people like to see and be a part of it. Preaching the truth, so many times people don't like to be a part of it. When you preach the true word of God, a lot of times people don't want to be a part of it. They like to be a part of the ear tickling and the sugar coating. It's true, folks. That's the world that we live in today. They want the preacher to justify what they're doing is okay. And it's not. We've got to be true. But as Jesus led the crowd, his disciples were by his side. They were with him. They were with him the whole time. But their desire was to be like Jesus. Everything that they could learn from him while he was out, while he was here, while he was walking the earth, while they were with him, they were constantly learning. He was constantly pouring out things into them, ministering to them. They were seeing the miracles. They were seeing the things that he was doing. But you know what? None of them were perfect either. None of them were perfect either. But they did have a desire to be like Jesus. And that's what it takes. You know what? You may fall. You may stumble. You may go through things. You may turn your back on God. But if you got that desire, you can always turn around and go the other direction. You can always pick yourself up. You can always step over that stumbling block. You can always help someone else out if you have that desire. Amen? That fire burning within you. And that fire is the Holy Ghost. Amen? But they could always see what Jesus did and heard what he had to say. And they were always listening, watching, learning to be more like Jesus. These men knew Jesus like no other man of their time has ever known the Lord. They seen everything he done. They slept where he slept. They ate where he ate. Amen. They were with him 24/7. But I believe that we, those of us who are the true disciples of Christ, have the same opportunity today as they did. Have the same opportunity today to have a relationship with Jesus as they did. But nobody wants to pay the price. Nobody wants to pay the price that they had to pay to have the relationship like they had. But we can know Jesus. We can hear his voice and we can follow him just as close as we want to, as long as we're willing to pay the price. To pay the price is to have the relationship with Christ that only a few people are willing to pay. It's not discounted. It's not on sale. We've got to pay the full price. We can't tiptoe around it. We can't go over here to the blue light special or the red light special and know that it's going to help us or make us who we need to be. It has to be a sacrifice of praise and worship. Whenever you don't feel like it, whenever you don't feel like coming to church on a rainy day, when you don't feel like coming to church because you got a headache, you don't feel like coming to church because I've got a bump around my leg, or, you know, the enemy can throw all kinds of things out there for us to use. But too many people are satisfied with only a little knowledge of Jesus. They're satisfied with just scraping the surface of Jesus. If they know just a couple scriptures to get them by, they're good with what they got. We've got to know the Word inside and out, front to back, left to right, up and down. We've got to know the Word of God, because, folks, there's going to come a time, and it's coming soon, I believe, that we're no longer going to have this. And if we do, you get caught with it, you're going to be in trouble. And there's going to be false witnesses. There's going to be false prophets coming, and they're going to be blaring out this stuff that's not going to be the Word of God. And if you don't know what it is, you're going to be deceived. So you've got to know that you know that you know what the Word of God says. But they don't care to really have an intimate and personal relationship that is deep as the disciples had. That's the kind of relationship we need to have, is the one that they had with Jesus. Most Christians will never have that kind of relationship because, you know what, they don't want to pay the price for it to get there. Because you know why? We're lazy. We are lazy. Do we pick up our Word? Do we read the Word of God? Do we pray diligently to God? Do we fast? Do we seek Him? Or are we just trying to get in by the seat of our pants? But there were those that were quick to hear and quick to follow Jesus and the disciples. Why is that? Because there was something different. There was something unusual. There were those that were on the fringes that were seeing these things of the crowd, that they were wanting to know what was going on. They were, you know, they had their own ideas of what was going on, but they didn't have a clue. You know how talk starts. You know, somebody over here could say something to her and him, and by the time it got over here, it'd totally be a different thing. But that's how it starts. And that's what was happening here. They were quick to hear and quick to follow Jesus, but they didn't know what was going on. They were just assuming things. But they may have been friends of the disciples, or maybe some who stood around to see what would happen. You know, just wondering. But they wasn't chosen or ready to be disciples of the Lord, but they didn't want to miss anything either. Can you say that you're a part of this group? Can you say that you're a part of this group? You may not be a disciple, but you're just part of the group. Are you a leader in the church, or are you just a part of the group? Are you a disciple for the church, or are you just part of the group? Here just to hear what's going on or see what's going on. Do you stay close to the leaders in the church so you don't miss anything? Do you stay close to help out when you're needed? So many today just hang around to see what's happening in the church, and that's it. They want to see the things that are going on so they can go out and tear it down. They want their blessing, but they don't want to commit fully to get close to God. Why, you ask? Because there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. They like the glow of leadership, but they don't want the responsibility of it. And we're all leaders. We're all leaders for the Lord. We should be. Whether you're preaching the Word, whether you're cleaning toilets, whether you're running a vacuum, whatever you may be doing, you're a leader for the Lord. And when we go out into the world, we've got to be a leader. But they won't carry the load, but they will stand close by and encourage those that do. Sometimes we're just good being part of the crowd or the congregation, just like those that were with Jesus, watching, wanting to know something. But we want to witness what's going on, but we don't want to be a part of it. What part are you playing in the church today? Are you sitting back just watching? Are you one of the few that press in, like the woman with the issue of blood? Are you pressing in to be a part? Are you pressing in to get your healing? Are you pressing in to see the Spirit of God move? Because you know what? A fire, it takes one match to start a fire. It takes one match. And if you got a bunch of dry underbrush, one match can start that fire. Are you going to be that match today? Are you going to be the one to start the fire in your church? Are you going to be the one to start the fire in your community for the Lord? We want to witness what's going on, but we don't want to be a part of it. There are three types of people in this world today. There's those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. Which one are you today? Are you the one that makes things happen? The thing that watched things happen or wondering what happened? Even though all these people followed the same crowd and claimed to follow the same Jesus, I wonder if they truly knew what Jesus did that day. They had their assumptions, didn't they? They were wondering. That's why they followed. But that's what happens in the church world today. Satan has a way of perverting what God is doing so that those who are following from far will never really know the truth of what God is doing. Because they don't know what's going on in the church. They sit in the background, not knowing what's going on, truly. Can you imagine what happened after the woman was healed? Those at the back of the crowd, whenever they finally found out that she was healed. Some were probably standing around saying, "Why are we here? What's going on?" Anybody in the church ever say that? Why are we here? What's going on? They sing, they're preaching, what's going on? Some were probably standing around saying, this crowd really going somewhere. Why don't someone find out what's happening? But they stay out on the fringes and they don't press in for that touch that they need. So many criticize the church and complain but never really put their hands to the plow. We complain about the issues. We complain about things in the church, but nobody wants to step up to the bat. Nobody wants to step up and help plant the seeds and water the garden and pull the weeds. They want to reap the harvest of it. They want the fried squash and the okra and the sliced tomatoes, but they don't want to get out there and do any work that produces it. Come on, church. We see that so many times, so many places that you go that, man, people want to reap the benefits, but they don't want to do anything to get it. They grumble because the church is not growing. Okay? They complain because the pastor lacks vision or the worship leader sings the wrong songs. We've got our focus out of whack. Instead of focusing on what the preacher's preaching or what the worship leader is singing, focus on God and everything else comes together to be in one mind and one accord in one place. Amen? But most of the time, we're grumbling because of the guilt that lies on the inside of us because of being frustrated with ourselves. Because you're not settled. You're seeking. You're going to and fro looking, but you're still not settled. We lose our focus and we don't get involved and put our share or pull our share of the load. God help us if we would get busy doing the Lord's work. Doing the Lord's work, especially in this day and time. To do the work that God has called us to do. in our lives, in our families, in our ministries. We wouldn't have time to complain or criticize about the situations. We wouldn't. We'd be so busy doing God's work, we wouldn't have time to criticize or complain about nothing else. Because I promise you, in the work of the Lord, it keeps you busy. It keeps you busy. You've ever heard the song, Working on a Building? We're all working on a building for the Lord, amen? It's a Holy Ghost building. We're working on a building. You guys have been through building projects, if you've been here any time, I assume with Brother and Sister Stone. You know it's a process that takes time. It don't just happen overnight. It takes work. It takes dedication to get it done the way you want it done. Same thing in the Word, working for the Lord. It takes dedication. We would be too busy and we would welcome anyone who was willing to help if we would quit complaining and criticizing and be about Father's work. But it takes commitment to God to make these things work out. We've got to get back to the basics of it all. We have pushed all the basics to the back burner. And we've tried to inflate something that don't have to be inflated. We've tried to blow something out of proportion that it don't have to be blown out of proportion. If we would just do the basic things that we need to do. Pray. Read. Fast. Seek God. Four little things right there. It's all we got to do to make this thing go. I guess five if you want to throw a match out there. Start that fire. But we have to follow the process. Nobody likes the P word. Nobody likes the process. Nobody likes going through things. Nobody likes the situations. Nobody wants to call it what it is. But it's a process. Whether you're growing, whether you're going through a trial, whether you're going through a tribulation, it's all a process to get you from where you are to where you need to be. We may not agree with the situation. We may not think that we need to be going through that trial, that tribulation or problem or financial situation or whatever, but you know what? It could be a trial just to see where you stand, to see where you're at. See if you're ready to go to the next level. But we always look at it through this or these. But time is short. Let's not stay out on the fringes looking in. Let's press in. Press in. Draw closer to the Lord. Allow Him to be number one in your life. And then everything else will just fall into line. He never said it'd be a cakewalk. I never read anything in here about cake. Or you can have your cake and eat it too. He never said it would be easy. But I can't remember how the scripture goes. Brother Stone might know, but if you work for the Lord, there's a possibility you might die. I can't remember it word for word, but, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen? But time is short, folks. Let's be closer to Jesus, looking out to help those that are on the fringes. If you see them out there, help them. Go help them out. See if they need something. If there's something in their life that may be out of whack. Amen? Love you, church. I don't know you. God knows you, and we're brothers and sisters, and I love you. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. So if you need anything from the Lord tonight, I'm just going to say these altars are open. They're open at all times through any service that I preach at. Don't have to have an invitation. Amen. Brother Stone.